The reason I want to give you this Bible basics like mini series is because I feel that Bible illiteracy is scary. I do. And I don't know why I started like thinking about this recently. I think because maybe, maybe just preaching more, you know, and just kind of doing my own Bible studies, maybe just kind of like coming out of this post-COVID thing, I feel like we're losing a lot of like, oh, just get used to reading the Bible for yourself. And so I want us to do this thing called Bible Basics. It's going to be really elementary, okay? So for those of you who have been coming to church for a long time, you might feel like, oh, this is like ridiculous. But I hope to show you that there's still fundamentals of the Bible that we can all kind of refresh ourselves on. If you are like totally like, oh, you know what the Bible is, everything, then you can figure out like, oh, how can you teach others about what the Bible is? Because when you're dealing with new Christians, I think we take a lot of things for granted. I think we forget that like reading this is kind of intimidating. And so I'm going to do this mini series called Bible Basics throughout the rest of our lesson. Hopefully it gives you some kind of, some grounding. I think that's what I want to do. Okay. And so the first lesson in this mini series is this. Okay. Bible is a book. The Bible is a book. Okay. This is a book. A book. Now, when you have a book, it's printed, right? Maybe printed in different countries. It means that there's pages inside and there's a cover. Okay. It's a book. It's a book. It's a form of media, right? Now, there's different forms of media. There's like podcasts, right? There's like music. There's like television. There's like movies. There's like radio before. Before there was this type of book, you could have printed material on like, I don't know, like scrolls and stuff. I don't know. Yeah, like scrolls. Before they started printing stuff down, there was like storytelling. But somewhere along the way in God's mind, okay, in the mind of God, God said that the way he's going to communicate to us as people, as human beings, is he's going to give us a book. Now, there's other religions that have books, right? But Christianity's book is a little bit separate, and I'll go through that in different lessons. But today, this is what I want to cover, okay? This is what I want to cover. The word Bible is actually like from this Greek word biblia, apparently, okay? It means book. So that's why it's called a Bible. Now, we actually believe that the Bible is holy. Okay, I'll cover that in a different lesson. Okay, but for now, that's why it's called the Bible, because it's a book. There's 66 books inside this Bible. So while we believe that this is one cohesive book, there's also books, like, it's actually a collection, okay? It's actually a library of books inside here. It's not just like one, here you go, like this is the Bible. There's actually like books in here. So if you were to like print out the book of Matthew, it would only be like, you know what, like this long or whatever. Okay, and that's one book inside this collection of books. The Bible is actually divided into two halves, the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. Testament means like a covenant, which means like a relationship promise. But it also means like a sign or a proof of something. You can almost think of it as like a testimony, okay? A last will and testament, right? And so you have two halves of the Bible, the old and the new. When you're talking about the Old Testament, you're thinking about okay, the time before Jesus, okay? And when you're thinking about the New Testament, you're thinking about Jesus and onwards. So you have the Bible split in half by the life of Jesus, before Jesus and afterwards. And that's also kind of like how history divided, right? Before Christ, after Christ, Jesus splits it right down the middle. When you're talking about the testaments, okay, the Old Testament is sometimes referred to like a covenant of works, And that includes things like Abraham, okay, that includes things like David, the law, basically, okay, the Ten Commandments. When you go into the New Testament, you start seeing things like the covenant of grace. That's what it's called. So you have the covenant of works, you have the covenant of grace. And there is like distinctions between the two. We'll go into that later. Now, within each testament, you have these different books, and these different types of books are different. It's not just like one history book, another history book, another history book. No, you have different genres of literature within those books. And so in the Old Testament, you have the Pentateuch, which is like Old Testament, like history, Old Testament, like stories, beginnings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's called the Pentateuch, five books in the Old Testament, like law, historical books. You have actual historical books that would be like the life of like David, the cycle of Judges, those would be historical books. You have wisdom and poetry books, which are like Psalms and Proverbs. And then you have these prophecy books, or the prophetic books, which are like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And then as you go into other prophets, like Micah, okay? And those prophetic books are actually divided as well into major prophets and minor prophets. Major just meaning that they're bigger, okay? Isaiah is like a huge book, and then like Micah is like super, super small or whatever, okay? So yeah, you even have that breaking down here. When you read these books, you read them in different ways. You're not going to read a historical book the same way you read a wisdom book or a poetry book. Just like if I were to give you a poem, you would read that differently than you would like a fiction book of Harry Potter or something, you know, like that, or a nonfiction book. That's what, yeah, you can't read them the same. You can't treat them the same. They're different types of literature. So that's what you have here. Now, when you go into the New Testament, you also have a division of types of books. You have the Gospels, meaning the good news. That tells the story of Jesus. It's like biography, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is biography of Jesus. You have historical book, which is Acts. That's like a history book of the disciples and what happened in the early church. You have the epistles, which are mainly letters written by Paul to individuals or to churches. So you have Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, which is Ephesians. You have Paul writing to the church in Galatia, which is Galatians. You have Paul writing to Timothy, right? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, which is what we're studying in our sermon series. And then you have the prophetic book, which is Revelation, the book of Revelation. You read that like a prophetic book. And so you see that even within the New Testament, even though it's much smaller, you still have a division of different types of books. You have to read them differently. There's a different skill set involved, although generally, you know, your tools are the same, but you have to enter kind of a different mindset, right? Yeah, so the Bible is quite complicated. Now, the Bible was written over 1,400 years by 40 different authors, okay? So it's not just like, oh, Paul wrote the entire Bible. No, he didn't. He didn't. He wrote a very, very small section of it. So you have 40 different types of people, but even with 40 different types of people, God is still the main author, right? It's God's book. And so God is the final author, making a whole cohesive book for us to read and study and live by. Bible is actually written in three different languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Okay, now Hebrew, I guess I read that an easy way to see this is that Hebrew and Aramaic, like, yeah, they're different. But Hebrew is more like the scholarly type of language of the Jewish people, of the Israelite people, whereas Aramaic is more kind of like a not scholarly language, like street level language, okay, apparently. How people would normally talk, maybe casually. And then Greek, it would be for the New Testament time period. Okay, so you have different languages too. And those languages get translated for us into English, which is how we're able to actually read it and understand it. Now, a lot of people will tell you, hey man, you haven't read the Bible because you don't know how to read Hebrew. You don't know how to read Greek. I would say that there's an argument to be made that, yeah, you should know as a Christian that that's the original language. But we can actually trust that God's word isn't powerful because of the original language. We trust God's word is powerful because of the actual message that's contained in it. So if I'm talking to you and I'm sharing to you the gospel of Jesus, if I'm telling you about his life, it doesn't matter if I'm talking in English or if I'm talking to you in Greek. If you can figure out who Jesus is, if I can communicate that to you, then that's powerful enough to save you. Okay, and so, yeah, you can read language tools. You can use the internet definitely today and, like, go and look at the original languages. Like, this Bible, it actually has word studies that will tell you, oh, this word in the Hebrew, this word in the Greek is this. And then, you know, it gives you, like, definitions. You can do that easily. But, you know, for our everyday living, for our, yeah, street-level, like, Bible reading, devotional, and just personal walk with God, English is absolutely more than adequate. It could be all you need, okay? And now, even though you have the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's actually a time period right here of about 400 years, okay? It's called the intertestamental period. It was kind of a time where God's people were sort of in turmoil a little bit, okay? And I actually think that God used that time to shape the Roman Empire so that it was ready for Jesus to come and be crucified, and for Herod to be like ruler and kind of putting everything in place for that. It's kind of amazing when you think back and you think, okay, God had to author the Bible, but he also had to orchestrate like the entire world in order to make that so it's ready for us today. It's incredible. Here, the Bible is a book, and books are meant to be read. All right, now, if I put this Bible on my shelf and I say, okay, that's it, that's the word of God, and I walk away, and I never read it, and I never take it into my heart, and it does not transform me, then that book is useless. It's useless. Okay, so there's nothing inherently like powerful about a physical book. Okay, you can like throw this, you can throw it away, nothing bad is gonna happen to you. But if you refuse to read it and listen to it and pay attention to it and have it shape your heart and your mind and know who Jesus is, then you will die in your sin and you will go to hell. That's what we believe. You need the Bible to transform you. And the fact that the Bible is a book and that it was given to us by God, this is the way that God wants people to be saved. When you stop and think about it, you know, it's not through movies. It's not even through sharing the gospel, which is important. But the only reason why we can share the gospel and be so confident of it is because it's been written down for us in a book. Don't take your Bibles for granted. Read it. That's what it's meant to be for. Okay. The Bible is a book. Books are meant to be read. So that's my first mini lesson of this mini series for you. Okay. Bible basics. But I don't know. I kind of feel that like as Christians, I kind of feel like as Christians, we should know this type of stuff. We should be able to speak about it. We don't have to speak eloquently about it, but we need to be able to say, like, yeah, this is, like, what we stake our entire faith on. You know, we got to know this type of stuff. So read your Bible. Okay, I'm going to go through more stuff in the coming weeks. But yeah, hopefully that kind of, like, I don't know, makes you a little bit curious as to what else we can learn just about the Bible and it being God's word.